93.5, 93.3 Connect FM.
All right, Mondays and Fridays, we are very blessed to have two very smart people with us. Brother Johnny is in New Orleans, Louisiana. Johnny, how are you?
JJ, we're here. We're just kind of assessing storm damage, but looks like we'll make it. Looks like we're going to make it.
Well, you're in New Orleans. I couldn't even call your landline. That's still from the storm?
No, not working.
Wow. Mike is in Chicago. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing good, guys. How are you?
Well, great to have you both on, because I've got a whole stack of material here to get to, and we want to start with the Democratic National Convention. And we begin with last night and the President of the United States.
If the critics are right that I've made all my decisions based on polls, then I must not be very good at reading them. And while I'm very proud of what we've achieved together, I'm far more mindful of my own failings. If you turn away now, if you buy into the cynicism that the change we fought for is impossible, well, change will not happen. If you give up on the idea that your voice can make a difference, then other voices will fill the void.
One more from the president.
8 years later, that hope has been tested by the cost of war, by one of the worst economic crises in history, and by political gridlock that's left us wondering whether it's still even possible to tackle the challenges of our time.
And then there was Vice President Joe Biden.
This was about restoring America's pride. He understood. He understood in his gut what it would mean to leave a million people without hope or work if he didn't act. And he also knew. He also knew, he intuitively understood the message it would have sent around the world if the United States gave up on an industry that helped put America on the map in the first place.
And the former governor of Michigan?
Almost nobody had the guts to help us. Not the banks, not the private investors, and not Bain Capital. But in 2009, the cavalry arrived, and our new president, Barack Obama, came in.
And there you have it. What about the reaction to everything last night?
The Obama speech was fantastic, amazing, exactly what he needed to do, he did.
With all this support and your enthusiasm, we're going to take it back home to the States. We're going to get on the ground and we're going to start running, knocking on doors and making more phone calls.
All right.
I can't help but think that others are inspired.
All right, just like Mike Ditka, inspired about the events from last night. Coach, we begin with you, your reaction.
Well, guys, I have to apologize. I must not be a good American. I watched not 1 second of the DNC. I would not watch 1 second of it. If you want to buy into the propaganda and the hype and, whatever you want to call it, then go ahead. I mean, that's it. I mean, the facts are facts. The man did a horrible job. He's failed at his job. He's a loser. He's a loser as President of the United States. He doesn't take the office of the presidency the way taken seriously the way it should be taken. This is a popularity contest for him. This is something that he's trying to impress people with. And this is not what it's all about. It's about leading a country. That was all propaganda there about bringing America in the eyes of the world. Hey, the eyes of the world, the way to do it is the way Reagan did it. You know how to end a Cold War? Very simply. Hey, you be the strongest guy on the block. You end the Cold War. You end things like that. But you don't cater to the people in the Middle East and other countries because you're trying to be politically correct to them. Come on, stop it.
Well, Steve, I got to tell you, I watched a little. I think I got a little post traumatic stress syndrome going. Whatever that. I get a feel for it because it's just hard to watch. I think the speeches are great, actually. I mean, to be honest, as far as oratory goes, but they don't mean anything. And what gets me is, here's the thing, if you want to put this, you don't think Barack Obama's doing a good job, okay, fine. Here, he's going to give us a guy above suspicion, someone we all trust, a role model. Let Bill Clinton tell us how good he is.
That's the greatest hypocrisy in the world. I mean, really, Clinton doesn't believe in this guy. And here's the greatest example in the world of a man in the White House to be expounding on the virtues of anything, and it's Bill Clinton. All of a sudden, where did this guy become a hero?
No, exactly. He's their guy. He's their go-to guy.
Well, I mean, he's become the new, he's the new coming of the savior. Come on, stop it. At best, he was average. So you want to talk about his economic policies and how well he did as president? Well, we were going through a pretty good time in our country, too. But the same people who talk about what he did was so good talk about how bad that President Bush did. So, you know, it's one thing to the other. You know, you spin it any way you want to spin it. But it's time to quit spinning it. The guy has failed. He's failed as a leader, and he's failed as a president.
It's interesting. Clinton, when he got in, a similar thing happened. He lost control of the Congress 2 years later. But, you know, he actually worked with the Republicans a little bit after that, and they did a few things. So I think from that standpoint, Clinton's presidency was much better. But I thought it was amazing, Steve, that Bill was really looked upon as quite a boss for credibility for the Democrats.
he's the man for the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. But Hillary's 10,000 miles away. Now, how do you explain that?
Well, he's smart.
I would distance myself from him, too. I mean, the lies may spread over and run over you.
Well, we'll see. Obviously, positioning for 2016, because I think the Clintons are still thinking about that, if in fact that opportunity exists. All right, so we had last night, we had the president, and what was very confusing, and Johnny, you touched on it, is that the president will say things, and I'll say, yeah, that I agree with that, the entrepreneurial spirit, and government can't do everything, but it's dynamically in 360 degrees of what has happened over the last 3.5 years.
Right, and like one example is the comment about Romney, where if we vote for Romney, we'll go back to the crippling deficits of George Bush. Obama's average deficit is about four times what Bush's was.
Yeah.
And you shake your head and go, we don't want crippling deficits, but look who's talking.
The reason that Obama's capable of talking the way he does to the American people, because people, they hear, but they don't listen. They hear, but they don't listen. So, you know, they hear what's coming out now, but they haven't listened to what came out before. So they can't really discern that this is all BS. And that's all it is. It's propaganda. It's BS. There's no substance to it. I mean, you can say a million things about it, but it's a falsehood. I mean, none of this has happened. None of it will happen.
Well, and we had one of the congressmen, Steve, talking about after they presented their platform without Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, talking about they're our greatest ally, our friends, and if we must maintain the peace and prosperity in the Middle East, which keeps the international community healthy. The place is in a shambles. It's in flames right now.
Right.
I've never seen it.
Well, the other aspect that I just not going to let it go and say it was yesterday's news, because I thought it was very revealing regarding Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. That's one aspect. But putting God in the platform, they removed God completely. No, nothing of the Democratic Party about God in the platform. So Mayor Villa Rosa said essentially, we're gonna do this. We're gonna do this procedure. We'll get this thing through. And then all of a sudden, they're having trouble getting it through. They get to the third time that the mayor of L.A. has to ask him one more time regarding the amendment to add God and Jerusalem back into this platform.
I'll do that one more time. All those delegates in favor say aye. All those delegates opposed say no. In the opinion of the chair, two-thirds have voted in the affirmative. The motion is adopted, and the platform has been amended as shown on the screen.
They're not booing God, are they, Johnny?
No, I think that's just kind of symptomatic of it doesn't mean a thing, Mike. You know, it sounded to me the third time the no's had it.
Well, they did have it, John, and that's the problem. You know, listen, if you don't believe in God, then you don't want God in your system. I mean, you don't believe in and these people don't. It's that simple. I mean, to take what the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, everything that we've built over a period of years in the last 200-300 years, and all of a sudden say, you know, one nation under God doesn't resonate anymore? Come on. I mean, why? I mean, why? Is there no belief in no creator? Is what's beyond us? I mean, I don't know. I'm asking the question, what do these people believe in actually outside of themselves in the moment? And maybe they just believe in the moment.
It's big government, for one thing, and that's where the conflict is with me. I think
I have a problem with it all. So, you know, I have to say that I may be smarter than I think I am in the fact that I did not watch 1 second of it, and I would not watch 1 second.
I think you are, Mike. I tell you, I tried to check in, Stevie, and, I just can't understand how you can sit there and say something that doesn't make sense. And I don't hear a lot of the media calling him on it.
But nobody does. But he's made the same promises 4 years ago, and nothing's happened.
Yeah.
And then the exit out of that is, well, the ditch was too deep. Bush had us in too much trouble. You know, and then you can only blame it on your predecessor for so long. And then all of a sudden, you know, are we going in the right direction? I saw the jobs thing today. There's some encouraging news, but there's also a lot of discouraging news because, really, there's more people that aren't even looking for work now.
Yeah, 8.1% is a new number. It's 43rd consecutive month, over 8% unemployment. It is a little bit better this morning. There's no question, 8.1, but there have been a lot of people that have dropped out. Hopefully it gets better, but I certainly think that's the big number for this election, correct? It's the economy, it's the jobs, ultimately, that will drive the voting, won't it, Johnny?
Well, I think that's the key issue, and now it's coming down to the campaigns. It's going to be a very close campaign. I think it's going to be brutal. It's going to be, 12 or 14 states is what it's going to come down to. And it's hard to say. I think it's too close to call, as they say. Picket. It's a picket on this one.
All right, Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny, 746, 93.5, 95.3. Great to have both of them on Mondays and Fridays from 7:30 to 8. Okay, we switch over to football. The first game, Cowboys at Giants. Quite the win for the Cowboys, Mike Ditka. But how about the replacement officials? Everything okay there?
Well, you know, I watched the game. I thought that the officials did a pretty good job overall. I think the one thing that's being let go are the defensive backs are keeping their hands on the receivers past the 5-yard area downfield. There's a lot of bumping and pushing past the 5-yard, and it really gives a big advantage to the defense in that area. Now, I understand that it's a passing game, and I understand the offense does have the advantage, but you know, that's one thing I didn't notice being called. Now, I thought, other than that, I thought they did a pretty good job. I really did. So I'm not going to sit around and say, well, were they perfect? No. Would anybody else be perfect? No. I mean, you're going to miss some things. You're going to get some things right. But I thought they got the majority of things right. I thought it was a pretty well-officiated game and a very well-played game.
Yeah, I think one of the things about the replacement officials is that the crowd isn't going to take a bad call. You know, we see bad calls from the good guys. But if these guys make one, it's just, it's harder to take because their tolerance of the crowd lower, Stevie.
Yeah, right. Well, and you've got some dandy games this weekend. Of course, I follow the New Orleans Saints a lot, and they play home against Washington.
Opener.
Yeah, I hope the Saints win that game, Mike.
Well, the Saints will win the game. I really believe the Saints are one of the teams to beat in the league. Are they the best team in the league right now? I don't know, but they have as good a quarterback as there is. And I think that they're going to be playing with a chip on their shoulder. I think that's out to prove people, first of all, let me say their record was not about any bounty program, how well they played as a team, how well they operated as an organization, and nothing to do with a bounty program. I mean, this was specific individuals who took it upon themselves to do something that was wrong. And a lot of people have paid the price for it, and I disagree with that. I think that the punishment was too harsh and too severe, especially in the head coach. I really believe it, and the general manager. But that's only my opinion. I mean, that's what I believe. I believe that those people aren't privy to what happens in those meetings, and they really didn't know about it. And maybe when they did find out about it, it was way too late to do anything anyways.
All right, another game I wanted to spotlight. How about the Packers hosting the 49ers? What a dandy that is.
Well, it's a chance for the 49ers to, get back on track. I mean, to me, they remind me of a lot of our team in 84, 80. You know, they lost, and then they're going to come back, and they're a good team. Well-coached team. I love the Packers. I love everything about what they do. This is going to be a heck of a – this game I would pay to walk into, believe me.
I'll tell you, that's a tough team in San Francisco, too. So It's going to be a good football game.
What about that Sunday night game, Pittsburgh at Denver? Peyton Manning, Mike. Denver's different now.
Well, they're different, but you better be strapped down, because I tell you, the Steelers are going to throw everything at him, and you're going to find out if he can handle the rush, or their offensive line is well enough to protect against that Pittsburgh defense. I know that's going to happen. Now, if he can stay upright and he can get rid of the football, I think Peyton Manning will play very good. I mean, he's an outstanding player and an outstanding leader. I think the whole key is how well you protect him.
What kind of receivers does Denver have, Mike?
They have some pretty good receivers. They really do. They're not bad. I mean, they have some guys who get open, and the things they do, and the ball's going to have to come out of there pretty quick. So, I don't think he's going to be throwing 60-yard passes.
All right, so you're back to your schedule, Mike Ditka. You're going to go out to ESPN tomorrow, be there Monday Night Football, the whole deal, same thing?
I am. I'm going to be here. Be there Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and then I'm going to shoot over to Pittsburgh Tuesday morning, see Mom, and come back Tuesday night.
And how is your mother?
Well, Mom's fine. She's fine. She's in a nursing home, but her mind's fine, and she's fine. She just can't get around, that's all.
All right. Finally, I want to get over to college football. Johnny, I wish the Illini could play more SEC teams, huh?
Well, tell you what, Steve, Alabama, Michigan was number one, Alabama, and then Michigan had a little eight by. What was the eight for, Steve? Was that like behind the eight ball? What was the eight by Michigan for?
I think it was their national ranking at the time.
What country would that be, Mike?
Yeah.
Listen, I got a question for you, guys. What do these teams have in common? Alabama, Florida, South Carolina, LSU, Missouri, Georgia, Arkansas, Tennessee, and Auburn. I think they could all beat Michigan. That puts Michigan in the SEC.
Ouch. Wow. So, I mean, Michigan's one of our best in the Big Ten. Mike, I tell you
good.
What.
Now, the quarterback's good. And
Mike, what happens when the Denard Robinson, the great quarterback of Michigan, is only as fast as maybe a linebacker or a lineman at Alabama? Alabama, how do they get these specimens?
I think there's a lot of things. First of all, Nick Saban's a great coach. It's a great program. It's special for these kids to get into that program, and hopefully they get college degrees out of it. That's the thing. But as you're talking about athletes, these are men against boys, guys. I mean, I watched part of the game. These are men against boys. I'm sorry. Speed,
I'll tell you too, Mike.
Whatever you said, speed, hitting, accuracy, throwing the ball, running the ball. I mean, it was really, that's what it was.
There's another thing. The SEC, that there's a fundamental approach to the game that might be a factor. The SEC, LSU for sure, and Alabama and Florida, they'll put their athletes, they basically put their best athletes on defense. That's it, your top 20 guys. And then they'll go from there. They have these quick defenses, and they seem to focus more on defense, I guess, because, Mike, there can't be that much difference between kids from one state to the next.
I agree with that very, very, very much, John. I understand what you're saying. But when you get that exceptional athlete, you're right to a degree. I mean, what are you going to put him at, receiver or DB? I mean, the DB, if you got a DB that can do it, he might be able to play receiver too. But the DB is going to make you a better football team, because you're going to build the defense for. I hear people talk about this, that. I look at some college football, and I think overall it's a lot better in a lot of areas. And then I see some things that don't make any sense, like Pitt. I have no clue how they can call that a major program. It's embarrassing to anybody who went there.
Hey, I want to ask, before we let you guys go, two things. Firstly, how good has Rory McIlroy, Tiger Woods, I mean, the golfers, Mike, I just can't, they go eight or nine under, it's just like, okay,
it's great for golf. That whole thing was great for golf. Now, I don't know, crooked stick, the wind wasn't blowing very much, but I play crooked stick. Well, do what they're doing. They're making it look like a mini golf course. I mean, this is incredible.
Unreal.
Crooked Stick is a tough golf course. I mean, it really is. Now, I admit the wind wasn't blowing. I admit that, the clean in place rule, a lot of things. But to take it that low, they had three guys take it eight under.
Unreal.
And a bunch of them seven and six. And a guy plays good like Mickelson. He's three under.
Yeah.
And he's five behind.
No, way behind. I mean, hitting shots like Mike and Johnny. I mean, you guys hit those guys.
No, I mean, this Rory McIlroy and Tiger Woods, these are things that, these are great, this is a great for golf. I mean, this is Palmer, Nicklaus, all of, this is a great rivalry. People love it. These are two of the greatest players in the world. And playing together, and they seem to genuinely enjoy and respect each other. And I think that's great.
I think, too, Mike, what's happening a little bit is the engineering and the technology now with the balls and the clubs have given these guys more of a tool to get it closer and closer and closer, and they're taking advantage of it. So that's part of it. The competition, the money, all drives the incentive. But I think the technology now, too, is playing into some of these shots and what you can do with the ball.
I tell you something, my friend. I got the same clubs and the same equipment, and it don't work the same way.
Well,
so I can't figure that out.
I tell you what, this is two things that Johnny has in common with Bobby Jones: civil engineering and golf talent. That's a two.
Yeah, Bobby Jones was a mechanical engineer from Georgia Tech.
Hey, he said same equipment too, Johnny. He's got you with the Calamity Jane.
Calamity Jane.
David Griffin.
Hey, finally, last minute, I sometimes wonder, just wonder, what our world would be like had Mike Ditka decided to run against State Senator Barack Obama, and had he been able to win, it'd be completely different.
Well, there would definitely be somebody else in the White House. But when you really think about this guy's rise to power, it's totally amazing. I mean, it's amazing. This was America's hope. This was going to change everything, and it changed nothing. Actually, made it worse. You have a guy who's really practicing class warfare in our country by separating our country into classes and have people argue with each other in the middle class. Hey, listen, guys, I don't know what class you're in, but I assume we're all close to the middle class somewhere. If you say upper class, fine, we're in the upper class. I don't know. But I don't know. What is the middle class, low? What is the upper? I mean, we're not in the top 3% or whatever that is. So what are we? Well, I mean, basically, the country of America really is kind of people in the medium, aren't they?
I think that there's a point to be made there, too, Mike, with the class this or class that. It's the parties really do divide us into two different groups for no reason whatsoever. We should be Americans trying to elect a leader. And then if the Democrats pick someone that nobody likes, the Democrats are stuck with them, too. You can't, you got to vote for your party. Same with the Republicans. And in some regard, it's not a healthy situation because you make them different. You pick on the other guy. You make them the bad guys. And I don't know why we do that.
No.
That's the way it is.
You're right. I agree. Totally. Guys, we'll leave it there. We'll call you Monday. Johnny, always a pleasure from New Orleans today. Mike from Chicago. We'll talk to you from Connecticut Monday. Thank you both so much for your time.
All right. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Mike.
Great
having both of you on. Thanks so much. Mike Ditka, brother Johnny, 93.5, 95.3. And yes, he said it.
A few times, actually.
Today. We'll get to all the details on our big money winner coming up. This Wall Street Journal update now brought to you by Starla Carr at Providence.